couple of weeks ago, Sally and I went to an Episcopal church in Minnesota forum at the Church Center up in Minneapolis. The forum invitation came with the title, "What Would Whipple Do?" We were welcomed by the staff's missioner, the Reverend Robert Tubbles, and several guest speakers, and they had just a few minutes, each one of them. They came from the Minnesota Council of Churches, Jim Baird Jacobs. There was a deacon at St. Christopher's Episcopal Church in Roseville, Janet McNally. The vicar of our Hmong faith community, Letha Wilson Barnard, was there as a speaker. And from the Interfaith Coalition on Immigration, Daniel Romero, who's a pastor at First Congregational Church in Minneapolis. Given the title, we were drawn together by the Native American Hmong Latino dimension to the forum in the wake of the intense immigration issues in America, and this forum was even before the deadly massacres in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio, and the huge Ouse roundup in the state of Mississippi. And so this morning, I would like to talk a little bit about the Episcopal Church's response and participation in this highly conflicted moment in our American history. And hopefully I would like to do this without abusing the privilege of the pulpit in addressing what has become a political turmoil. There are a great many Episcopalians who don't even know who Bishop Whipple is and why a federal building in St. Paul is named for him. He was the first bishop of Minnesota, serving from 1859 to 1901. He is recognized as an advocate for the Dakota and Ojibwe people in Minnesota during a time of tribal relocation, fraud and corruption, broken treaties, intense racism and oppression, and violent warfare. The bishop often stood alone before white upper middle class Episcopalians while the Minnesota legislature exiled the entire Dakota Nation from southern Minnesota, separated white children from their families in state and church schools, and executed 38 Dakota men in the largest mass execution in American history. Walter Mondale greatly admired Bishop Whipple, and when he submitted the bishop's name for the new federal building, it was accepted. The building is a multi-story white stone building at the west end of the Mendota Bridge on the grounds of Fort Snelling. Look for it when you come across the bridge. It was constructed in the 1960s on a site sacred to the Dakota, near the island at the confluence of the Mississippi and the Minnesota rivers. The island is regarded as the center of creation, the creation of the universe by the Dakota. Tragically, the city of St. Paul used the island as the city dump for many years, and it is now a national forest reserve. The Whipple building was constructed with the intention it should be used as a federal service center. For instance, the Veterans Service offices are located on two of the floors of the building. At the beginning of the immigration crisis, ICE was located in the Whipple building, serving a five-state area. Immigrants arrested by ICE are brought to the Whipple building to be put on trial in five courtrooms, 9 to 5, 5 days a week, and then deported following the trials. Those arrested are separated from families, jailed, and held in detention. The purpose of the forum that we attended in the Episcopal Center in Minneapolis was to alert Minnesota Episcopalians to the use being made of the federal building which bears the name of our famous bishop. It was named to honor Whipple's political advocacy for mercy and justice at a time of racial violence, exile, and injustice in our state's history. The Episcopal Church at both the national level and the state level have already condemned through conventions the current immigration policies of the federal government. The Immigration Coalition, which called together the forum in Minneapolis, calls upon us Episcopalians to enact our convictions. For instance, several county jails are being considered as ICE detention centers for those who are awaiting trial at the Whipple Building, Olmsted County among them. My purpose this morning is not to misuse this service time, sermon time, to engage in political rhetoric, but it is a moment in our time when the gospel of Jesus Christ addresses our conscience, our sense of right from wrong. Our Native American neighbors, at this moment in history, regard us white Europeans who started to come to America in the 1600s, and my ancestors are among those who came, and then began to bring with them African, Asian, Latino, and people from every corner of the earth. Our Native American neighbors may well regard us as undocumented, illegal aliens who violently suppressed and removed whole nations of indigenous peoples over hundreds of years to create the United States of America. The gospel today speaks to us in our time. St. Luke records a saying of Jesus to his disciples in today's reading. Jesus speaks of the treasure which his followers hold in their hearts. Now, treasure in Jesus' story is material. Possessions which can be shared for the good of the community, wealth which can be of service to others. But Luke's message pushes Jesus' teaching a little bit further. Treasure has a far deeper meaning. Luke wants to teach us that treasure is also held within, in the inner spirituality. They are the treasures we keep in our hearts and souls, treasures that St. Paul labeled faith, hope, and charity, treasures which Bishop Whipple labeled as mercy and justice, treasures labeled in our baptismal covenant as honor, respect, and dignity. These are inner spiritual treasures which thieves can steal away from us just as easily as the material treasures that we have locked away in padlocks and security systems. I'm old enough to remember the day way back when I was a young person, we didn't need to even lock the door to our house, or take the key out of the car, or pull down the garage door. Now there are bulletproof backpacks for school children, cameras and motion detectors at our doorways creating images on our computer screens, gun detectors at entrances to all kinds of public places. Times are different now. And in Luke's gospel message today, times have changed for the inner spiritual treasures that we carry in our hearts and souls. We are a people who are vulnerable to being open to a thief who come at a time unexpected, break into our inner spirit, and steal away those inner treasures we have kept securely there. They are the treasures given us as free gifts at our baptism. They are the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread, the call to repentance and forgiveness, the setting of good personal examples, seeing the face of Christ in all persons, and striving for justice and peace among all people, respecting the dignity of every human being. Let not the thief who comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and find us unprepared to secure those inner treasures that are our gift as the followers of Jesus Christ. Luke's gospel has Jesus say it this way: "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's goodwill to give you the kingdom. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The prophet Isaiah, in our reading from many years ago from the Hebrew Bible, says, apart from the doom and gloom of the passage, Isaiah teaches us, "Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow." And today, we are called by the Episcopalian faith community to simply enact our baptismal covenant. Amen.